Welcome to another episode of Dimes on Duval. My name is Mike Yashi, joined remotely once again with Keith Manzi and Skylar Chase. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right.
Not bad. Good to hear, guys. It's been a while since we recorded. It's been about 2 weeks. Last episode we posted was on November 18th, and we do apologize for not getting it out on social. It's just those last 2 weeks have been, I believe, hectic for all of us. Well, no, it was at least hectic for me, and I believe it was hectic for the other two guys. Well,
Keith got to call an NCAA basketball game last week.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me, Skylar. Keith, how was that experience?
I'll tell you what. So for those of you that didn't know, my brother Scott is the voice of Jacksonville University Dolphins, and the basketball game that was scheduled 2 days prior was they had a lack of people, and they needed somebody to call the game on ESPN Plus. So Scott comes to me with desperation mode, like, please, man, like, can you do this? And I was like, oh, man. Yeah, I guess. So I get.
Wait, there was hesitation for you?
I was scared. I mean, honest to goodness truth, I was nervous. And I sat there at work when I got the news, and I had actually my coworkers. Thank you, coworkers, for talking me into it, because I was very, very nervous because, you know, I've never done television before, let alone radio, anything like that. I've called games just for fun while watching TV when it sounds off, but nothing to this caliber. So I took it. He gave me notes, he gave me the players. I wrote notes on literally everybody. And he's like, yeah, you'll be sitting next to artists, you know, Hall of Famer Artist Gilmore, and calling the game on TV. And I'm like, oh my God. And, you know, I got there, I got everything set up almost 2 hours early. Artist comes in, he gets his players, you know, his sheet of paper with all the players' names on it. The only note that he wrote on his piece of paper, and I saw it scrawled in all caps, Keith, K-E-I-T-H. I was like, well, good, he'll remember my name now. And I told him how to pronounce Kanuchuk, the guy from Southern Miss that had the funny last name. And yeah, we took off. I had, you know, my nerves were busting out of my seams in the beginning because I stumbled over words, I said things wrong. But after a while, I got a little more comfortable, but still, I want to be able to do it again. So that way I, you know, now that I have one under my belt, I feel like I could do it better next time. You know, learning the proper way to close out before a commercial break. But shout out to everyone that gave me a listen and shouted me out on Twitter and everywhere else. Like, I really appreciate it. It means a lot. I still am very critical of myself, and I thought I did terrible, but a lot of people told me they enjoyed listening to me. So again, I greatly appreciate that.
No problem. That's what we're here for. But no, speaking of nerves to relief, I bet you felt relieved after the game, right, Keith?
I did, very much so.
Well, I bet you didn't come as nearly as much relieved as you were on Sunday when we all found out that the Jacksonville Jaguars fired general manager Dave
Caldwell. I thought
with
all that relief talk, you were going to say he was relieved of his duties, but
I would.
I mean, he was relieved of his duties.
Yeah, I'm
but he was relieved of his duties as general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He started here in Jacksonville back in 2013. He stayed here, worked here for about 8 years. And he unfortunately could not – 8 years – well, not I'd say 8 years too long. I'd say 2 years too long. But what were your guys' first impressions when you found out that Dave Caldwell was fired?
Well, I mean, it was going to happen. I feel like it was either that one or Doug or both, or, you know, someone's going to get fired at some point this season. And I guess that was this, our 10th straight loss. That was where we could draw the line, 10 straight. So – I mean, I wasn't surprised or anything. It's more so like a here we go again type of deal. Another rebuild.
I'm going to go the other way. I was actually quite surprised. I didn't think Sean had it in him to fire somebody like before the end of the season. You know, and it always seems like I thought that we were going to be stuck with him another season. So I was, like you said, very relieved and just thankful. And I'm like, wow, okay, Sean, about time you finally woke up and realized that you had an NFL team too.
No, I agree. And I remember getting a text message from one of my friends back in college. He texted me, Caldwell was fired. And I was like, wait, what? And then I was in, ironically, in church when I got the text message. So I looked, I was like, there's no way. So I pull up Twitter for a few seconds. The first thing I see is Adam Schefter tweeted it. So I texted our group, group message and also another few groups with related to some of my buddies here and also down in Tampa. And just everyone has been blowing up my phone since then. And I said, let me get out of church, then I'll call some people, because I was in shock that I still am in shock that we no longer have Dave Caldwell as our general manager. Because I did not think this day was coming, at least not mid-season, because Shad Khan has usually kept people to the end of the season unless it's a blowout loss. And he only has done one mid-season firing before. So it was it was definitely strange. Or really two, I guess, if you count Coughlin.
Yeah, so, I guess it's strange, but I feel it's like almost a save face type of move. He's got all this Lot J stuff going down too, so he needs every fan support he can get, and obviously he can't get the support from fans if we have a losing regime around while we're trying to build a parking lot or a stadium or whatever he's trying to convince everyone that they're going to be doing downtown.
We'll save that for the other shows, because I know there's a couple other shows that talk about that kind of stuff. But I wanted to touch on with what the new GM, whoever he or she may be, will inherit. They're going to get 5 draft picks in the first 3 rounds of 2021, including 2 first rounds, $84.5, almost $85 million in projected cap space.
And it could increase, too, with more cuts. It
could increase as well, correct. A clear path to a franchise QB. I mean, that is what we need. But Justin Fields or
Kyle Trask, whoever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good young pieces. I mean, you could still argue Josh Allen is still a good young piece. He just gets doubled every game. James Robinson, Laviska Shenault, Moore, and influence over coaching. I mean, I don't think he's gonna keep Doug around, but he can probably figure out who he wants to bring in and be his or her top dog. So that was from Jeremy Fowler, by the way, from ESPN. He tweeted that a couple days ago. I just thought that was it seems like it's a gold mine here.
Let me run a scenario by y'all and how likely you think it might be. So whoever the new GM's going to be, we don't know, but let's say they bring in Nathaniel Hackett and sign Aaron Rodgers to teach Justin Fields or whoever we draft in the first round.
You're telling me Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett coming back?
Well, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been back since the other,
No, I'm saying, I meant to say, when I said Nathaniel
Hackett. Yeah, I understood. I get what you're saying.
I know what you're saying.
He's our former offensive coordinator. So, there's that connection with Shad a little bit. And I'm not sure who fired Hackett, but prior to him being fired, he was being talked about as a possible head coach candidate. I remember Keith and I were on the sideline for the Titans game. He walked over, and that was right after we beat the Jets or the Patriots, one of those games, and things were rolling smooth, and he was getting talked about a lot. And I don't think it's necessarily that bad of a hire in terms of coaching, because Aaron Rodgers has given very high praise for him and said hopefully he doesn't go anywhere, or if he does, hopefully I come with him. So with the connection to Shad and Jacksonville already with Nathaniel Hackett, I don't know if he's got bad blood between Shad or if Shad was the one that fired him, because I think we all knew Wash was probably the one that needed to go in that scenario. Right. And for some reason they fired Hackett to make it another save face move, arguably. I think maybe Caldwell or Coughlin made that fire. So I don't know if there's really any hard feelings between Shad and Nathaniel, but if he can come and bring Aaron Rodgers here and implement an offense while, Justin Fields or Trask or Wilson, whoever we get at quarterback in one of those rounds, sits behind Aaron Rodgers for at least a season, I think that would be an interesting scenario. Now, it's very unlikely, but it's something that I've been thinking of that would be interesting to see happen.
Keith, you're the Packers fan. Response?
Well, I think Aaron has another year in his contract in Green Bay, but I'm not sure if it's a player option or not. But I just know Hackett does have a good rapport with Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers. But I think the big thing would be if he were to be enticed, I think he'd want to call plays. And LaFleur definitely. I can't recall if he still calls the plays. I don't think he does anymore. But he was not able to when he first got to Green Bay, and I think he probably want to call his own plays. Or, if he trusts what we have in Jacksonville right now, it's hard to hard to believe that anybody would, but I mean, it's an interesting one. That's a good one, Skylar. I liked that. I mean, shoot, it'd be really strange to see Aaron Rodgers not in the green and gold, but I wouldn't be mad if he came to Jacksonville. Like, actually, that'd be the only other spot I'd really want him to go.
So I did look up Aaron Rodgers' contract. He is currently signed through 2024. I'm sorry, through 2023. However, there is a potential out in 2022. The thing is, we're not going to be able to get. And the thing is, if the Packers decide to cut Rodgers, that's a dead cap hit of $31 million next year. So there's no chance in how they're cutting him.
It was like $134 million contract, right?
Yeah, it was $134 million.
So who are we trading to Green Bay to get him?
There is we'd have to give him a first round pick probably. I'm good on that. No, we're not. It's an interesting idea, especially with Hackett, but I don't see the Packers moving on from
But
Rodgers,
realistically,
at least not this
I
year,
could see
or
Hackett
even next
at
year.
Least, at least Hackett, but that's just one option.
If you get Hackett, that's the groundbreaker. I mean, you know, that's the first step in the stepping stones. And if, I mean, Jordan Love didn't really do much, and he didn't really have a preseason to really show us anything. But, I mean, if they want Jordan Love to be the guy, yeah, then get rid of Rodgers and ship him to Duval.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I just don't see that happening, me personally. I mean, they're going to take a quarterback in number two if they end up landing in number two. And whoever they take in number two will be the quarterback day one in 2021 once the season kicks off.
No, I don't think they're going to go after a quarterback. There could be a QB battle with Minshew still.
No, I don't see that, but we'll see with the new head coach and new general – I'm sorry, if there is a new head coach and new general manager, what they decide to do come next year. But just a quick question. Was it too early or was it too late to cut Dave Caldwell or fire Dave Caldwell? We'll start with
Keith. Too late. I mean, they should have done it before the season. And I'll leave it at that. That's it.
Fair enough.
I hated the guy. He didn't give anything the last couple of years, so I was done.
Yeah, I guess probably. It would be too late. I mean, it was probably too late when they brought Coughlin to do his job, and then like you had those two guys trying to do one job. If you felt like you needed to bring someone else in, then that I felt like maybe at that point you probably should have just bring someone else in. You know, just take over the job entirely, anyways. So.
No, I agree. And I think it is too late. I think it's actually 2 years too late because I believe they should have honestly cleaned house after the 2018 season disaster to salvage some relationships with, for example, Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, Calais Campbell. Even though Calais has no hard feelings, I still think he is a little butthurt about how he got pretty much cut. I'm sorry,
I
traded.
Say butthurt.
And also Mercedes
I
Lewis.
Say butthurt. I'd say more just disappointed. Disappointed. You were about to say Mercedes Lewis the same way. Like, he was hurt. He was hurt. He still is hurt.
Yeah, also, there were some just questionable moves that Dave Caldwell has done since he became general manager, but also some good moves. But what do you think? Just quick recap of Dave Caldwell's career. Best decision of his career in his 7 years in Jacksonville.
Leaving gracefully.
Or so. Leaving gracefully by getting fired.
I'd probably say
best
James
decision,
Robinson,
not worst decision.
In terms of getting the scouts that found him. I don't know how direct his impact finding James Robinson was, but
I agree. I was just talking to one of my friends today, Jonathan, and he said was it Dave Caldwell or was it the scouts?
With that really too, I mean, I feel Robinson, like we've so. Brought in quite a few like a bit of talent like in later rounds, undrafted talent. And I wouldn't give him the full credit, but the fact that he does have the scouts that are able to pick up on some of these guys, like Allen Hurns was a great undrafted receiver, and that was like his first stint, I believe, his first year as GM that year. And we got Robinson.
Yeah.
Too. Keith? So, no, you're good. We got Robinson that year. And then also, you know, finding Yannick in the third round is a gem.
Well, his
decision is bringing on the scouts. So that's the decision. He brought on some scouts that were able to identify good gyms later on. So that's the decision, finding the scouts to get the good players that we'll still have.
To play off that, I was going to say the 2016 draft with Ramsey, Jackson, and Ngakoue. I mean, that was just – that was great at the time. That was a great draft. But, I mean, I do look at it where he definitely had this infatuation of taking players that he probably could have gotten in later rounds way too high. And, you know, that's just – I don't know, man. Just
like one guy, I guess, is I could think of like, as an example for you, Keith, is like Denard Robinson. I'm not sure if he –
Denard Robinson. I mean, I'm honestly, what's his face? Dang, I just lost his name. I can't believe. Oh, Kalyvon Chaisson. I mean, he was a great prospect, but I don't think he was worth being the first round. I mean, he still has time to prove that, but I still don't think he was still worth that. And forgive me, am I wrong? Was he the one who drafted Brian Anger? Was that him?
Who? No, that was Gene Smith.
So never mind. So not Brian Anger, but yeah, Denard Robinson, Ace Sanders, both of those guys. Oh man, what were they?
Well, 2013 draft class was just terrible to begin with Ace Sanders and Luke Jokel and whatnot. So that's enough of it. Yeah. So just a quick few words on what do you think his worst decision was? Now that we're going based off 2013, what do you think his worst decision was as GM?
Oh, I'm going Leonard Fournette. Yeah, close.
But someone, I mean,
Brian. Probably, actually, you know what? I'll go with Taven Bryan.
So Taven and Fournette, yeah. I would say more. I feel like are aligned with Coughlin. So I don't know if you can say that. So okay, how about this? Not counting 2017 to 2019, what is his worst? If you can think of something,
Gus Bradley probably was Coughlin, a really bad decision. Coughlin had the final say.
Fair enough. I was going to say that, but I've got one that's going to piss off one person.
The collapse of. The collapse of last year and just like trading everybody away. That
I was gonna say, maybe extending Bortles too. Is that what you're gonna say, Mike?
I was gonna say drafting Bortles, but yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah. I don't think the draft. I mean, who did we draft Bortles over in that QB class?
It was Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, but that's not who I wanted. I wanted Khalil Mack, to be honest with you, over Bortles, but that's a different story.
Yeah,
anyways. Enough about NFL. We're going to college football real quick. So last time we talked with each other, Keith and Scott got into a heated debate over the college football rankings and to see who should be in the college football playoff. So 2 weeks have gone by. We've had two sets of rankings and no changes happened among the top six. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Notre Dame. Number three, Clemson. Number four, Ohio State. Number five, Texas A&M. And number six, Florida. That is how the College Football Playoff Committee has decided the top six the last 2 weeks. Like I said, there has been no change. Now, there's obviously been change among the top 25. But, Skylar, we'll start with you. What has been the weirdest – or what has been the most confusing thing about the top 25, if there is one so far? Or what is one thing you disagree with?
Well, even though I – don't want BYU to get into the playoffs, I do think they deserve a higher ranking than 13th. They're 8-0, 9-0?
They are 9-0, and they start off 14th in the original college football ranking.
Yeah, so, I mean, they got a weak schedule. I understand that, but I would still put them as a top 10 team right now. It'd be hard to say anything higher than 8 or 9, but because Cincinnati's still playing pretty well. Florida and Texas A&M. Florida's only losses to Texas A&M, and Texas A&M's only losses to Alabama. So, you know, with the eye test there, you know, it's going to be like that. And things will settle out that with that too. Same with Clemson, Notre Dame. Those will straighten out. And then you got Ohio State in there at 4-0, which I get, but also at the same time, it's weird seeing a 4-0 team amongst teams that are 8-1, 7-1, 9-0.
Oh yeah, it's just this year. It's COVID-19. It's the pandemic that's affecting things.
And I mean, the Ohio State played a good game against. I mean, they escaped against Indiana. I mean, for the most part, they held up a big lead, and then Indiana kind of stormed back. I don't know if anything's going to get in the way of Ohio State other than COVID-19 because of all these cancellations. So it will be interesting to see if they even get a full qualifying season in. But as of right now, I guess BYU is the biggest thing.
Okay. Keith?
going off of what Skylar just said with Ohio State, yeah, the biggest thing that will get in the way is COVID-19. And they the conference did say that if they are not able to complete, like, six games, they're not even qualified to be in the conference championship game. So, like, sitting at 4-0 and, you know, cancellations keep happening over and over, it's going
to
be interesting
to see what happens. And I don't mean to interrupt, sorry, Keith, but I just want to ask, who do y'all blame for this? Do you blame the Big Ten for waiting too long to get their season started? Like, if you're Ohio State or a fan, like, and Ohio State doesn't play enough games, are you mad at Ohio State for waiting, like, with the Big Ten, or are you mad at just the Big Ten in general?
I would say the Big Ten in general. I mean, I'm not going to say that waiting too long was a bad thing. I think it's more of just their protocols just aren't there. I mean, how are all these other teams being able to, you know, push through their season all right? And granted, you know, they've had hiccups. Florida had a couple games mess up. Florida State's going through it right now. But, like, you really haven't seen as much with some of these other conferences. And so
the thing is, the Big Ten does have more strict protocols where if someone does test positive, they have to quarantine for almost 3 weeks instead of the normal 2 weeks, which is affecting things. So it's just a whole – I think it's crazy. A little crazy, but it is – I mean, the Big Ten also was the most hesitant about playing college football, and with fair reason right now because they're struggling. And right now, them and the Pac-12 both were hesitant. And the Pac-12 right now, their highest-ranked team – is what I'm seeing is USC at 20. So it's definitely affecting the big Pac-12 as well, but the Pac-12 knows they're not going to make the playoffs, so it doesn't matter to them, but it does affect the Big Ten with Ohio State. So I think the blame goes to the Pac-12, I'm sorry, the Big Ten, but also goes to the schools for not help trying to contain the virus. So
back to Keith talking about, sorry, yeah. So like that was just interesting.
That's okay. Yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting question. But my biggest thing is the overrated Iowa State Cyclones. Now, I like Iowa State. No, don't get me wrong, but they're a two-loss team. They're sitting at number 9 right now. They've moved up 4 spots from last week. I don't understand how you can justifiably put them, you know, ahead of
or like even we Northwestern
BYU, who's 9-0, Northwestern as well. I mean, all these teams that seemingly are better than them, but they're sitting at 9 right behind Georgia, with their, you know, marquee win, quote unquote, being against Oklahoma, who, like, again, is still not as great as they've been. They beat Oklahoma State when they were number 6 at the, or excuse me, they lost to Oklahoma State, who was number 6 at the time. But I mean, beating Texas, I'm not going to be sitting here getting all hyped about. But they lost also to the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, who, they're all the way down at 25th in the rankings, and they only have 1 loss. And I'm not saying Louisiana should be ranked ahead of them, but I don't know what the hype is for Iowa State right now. But, I mean, I'm just sitting here looking. They got West Virginia on the slate this coming weekend. But, I mean, like, no love for Coastal Carolina, who actually
– I was going to bring that up. Coastal Carolina and BYU should be hopefully a good matchup this Saturday. They both scheduled.
Can I make that the game of the week for all of us?
I don't know what the schedule is, but yeah, why not? I mean,
Florida-Tennessee is still a big game for me.
I could care less about that game.
I'll be changing the channel.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I agree with both of you. BYU being underrated, in my opinion, and also Iowa State, I think, is a little too high. I also believe Georgia is still a little high. They have not looked good in some games, so it's very concerning, but they are SEC teams, so I get it.
No. Also, I just wanted to throw in a little shout out to Marshall. Like, they're undefeated as well.
Yeah.
Like, I know they're in the CUSA, but still, I mean, undefeated season so far for the Thundering Herd. Yeah,
good
so,
for them.
Hats off to them.
So it's going to be very interesting the rest of the way. Do you guys have any changes? So each of you, if you want to give an update on what you believe the Final Four will be, just real quick.
I'm going to keep it the way it is right now. Just who's in it right
so
now?
So Alabama, yeah, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State is your Final Four.
Okay. Sure.
I'm going to take Notre Dame out, and I'll put Texas A&M in.
Okay. All right. We'll
still no faith for Notre Dame.
Okay.
I said still no faith for Notre Dame.
They're heathens at that church.
Okay. We're not getting into that.
If they don't beat Syracuse by 20, I'd be surprised.
Well, I just said I'm expecting them to lose to Clemson by big. Like, I'm expecting Trevor Lawrence to beat them by 21 in the ACC championship.
And before you guys go any further, if anyone wants to listen to that debate, go back to the last episode where Keith and Skylar got into it a little bit about Notre Dame and Clemson. Let's move on. We're going to go ahead and go back to the NFL real quick, just for a quick segment update from what we did, I believe, week 4 or 5. Is that right, Keith?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it was week 5 or going into week 5.
Going into week 5. So Keith, Skylar, and I did a little segment called Frauds and Careers. So we were trying to see which NFL team at the time who was either undefeated or had one loss are for real or frauds. So Keith, go ahead and give us an update on each of our frauds and for real teams that we selected earlier this year.
Gotcha. So we did have an interesting little debate on this. So I would definitely, if you don't recall, that's why I'm here. I'm going to give you a little rehash on that. But we have, for Skyler, his frauds were the Rams. I almost called them the St. Louis
Rams.
Well,
those are really so frauds.
No.
Yeah, those are the biggest frauds of all. Now, he had the Rams as his pick for frauds. So as we look at the schedule or the standings now, they're at 7-4, right behind the Seahawks at 8-3. So they still have a good chance of making the playoffs.
So yeah, right now the Rams are currently the 5 seed in the NFC.
Yeah, so I mean, look at it, Tampa Bay's 7-5. You know, they're right there, but you have the joke of the NFC East and the not-so-great NFC North. So L.A. looks like they're going to be a for real, so probably not a fraud.
It's hard to say they're for real if they're losing to San Francisco.
Division games are different, though.
I guess, Shane, yeah, sure. But was Garoppolo playing? Garoppolo? We'll
see. But I still think
I mean, we lose to
we're
Ryan
the Jaguars. We're not the Rams. We don't have Jalen Ramsey on our defense.
Well, they had a very good win at Tampa Bay the week before, yeah. And they beat the Seahawks.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay's looking like a fraud more so now.
We'll see. I mean,
they actually have a really good game this weekend against the Cardinals. So,
who, the Rams or the Bucks?
The Rams. At Arizona.
I'll try the Bucks have a bye week. I forgot.
Yeah, so my fraud was the Chicago Bears, and I am grinning as I say this. They're sitting at 5-6, third in the division, because Minnesota holds the tiebreaker over them. They still have the most inept offense I think I've ever seen, ever.
And just to make it even worse for Bears fans, they are on a 5-game losing streak, and they have not looked good in any of those games.
I went to bed the other night after the Packers game, and I knew we were going to win. I was just like, oh, I wonder how many they'll put up. They put up 25 points, you know, garbage points. But the Packers completely dominated that game. Trubisky fumbled the ball like 3 times. I mean, didn't lose it every time, but fumbled the ball, threw a beautiful interception into the end zone. And again, they decide they want to run the ball with David Montgomery, who's just average. They forget to throw the ball to Allen Robinson, which they should be doing 999 times a game. And their quarterback situation is just abysmal. So, sure, you can talk about how great your defense is, but your offense sucks, so you're never going to win a game.
Yikes, harsh words from Keith on the Bears, but it's deserved. Go ahead.
I'm allowed to. As a Packers fan, I'm allowed to talk as much junk as possible. And Mike's fraud was the Cleveland Browns, who are 8-3.
I still believe the Browns are frauds. They still could easily fall out of the playoffs for what I believe.
The Browns and the Rams are... The Browns and the Rams are pretty much identical. They both have a garbage quarterback, but a solid defense and a solid running game, yeah.
Wonderful running game.
No, Rams do not have a run game, and the defense
is the Rams running game's not developed yet, but I think they have some players there that they can – like, Daryl Henderson's pretty good at runner.
He has not seen the field as much lately, but I disagree on that.
Well, I mean, no one's Nick
Browns quarterback. I take the Browns – I don't know who I'd take over the other. I don't know if I'd take Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff because both have been pretty bad at moments this year.
Yeah, well, looking at the schedule, I think they only have one – let me double-check – one win against a team with a winning record. So, I mean, they have a big game against the Titans on Sunday, but their only win against a winning team was against the Colts. And that's, you know – and sure, it's a good win, but still, they need to – they need to win the division games, and they need to win. And they need to basically win out for me to actually be impressed by them. But Mike, they're your fraud.
And even if, and just for everyone who kind of doesn't get them to stand up fraud. They can still, if they make the playoffs, fine, but they're going to be real quick exits in the NFL playoffs if they make it, in my opinion as well. Like, if the Browns do make the playoffs, I think they're one and done. And if the Rams make the playoffs, they might win a game because it looks like right now they'll be playing the NFC East winner. So whoever wins that could probably win that, that round matchup. So
yeah,
we'll see. If we go from the frauds to the for reals, who do we have as for reals, Keith?
For real, Skylar and I shared the Green Bay Packers, who sit atop the NFC North at 8-3. They have the only positive differential in the NFC North at plus 66 point differential. So that's a good sign for them. They're scoring a lot of points. The defense has improved. Still not as great as they wanted to be, but Aaron Rodgers is having an MVP caliber season. Aaron Jones is still running the ball really well. Davante Adams is still, you know, the stud receiver we knew he was. They should take care of business against the Eagles on Sunday, 4:25. But the rest of the season, you know, the toughest game is going to be at home against the Titans. So look for the Packers to continue their trend on the upward cycle and continue to win games. For Mike, who probably the best pick of all, his for real was the Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers are 11-0. Had a couple games that were close. You know, the Cowboys game,
they fell asleep almost let there. Slip
they away. Fell asleep they struggled there, yeah. against the Ravens. Yeah, they struggled against the Ravens on Wednesday with RG3 at the helm, who was limping half the game, it seemed, which, poor guy, I feel bad for him. But, I mean, the rest of the season, they play at home against the Washington football team, at Buffalo, at Cincinnati, home versus the Colts, and they finish the season away in Cleveland against the Browns. So there are a couple games in there that could be proved to be a little bit tricky, but it's hard to argue that the Steelers are anything but for real, and they should be finding themselves atop the AFC and going probably yes, pretty deep.
And I do playoffs. Have some skepticism about the Steelers because they have pretty much faced a rather cupcake schedule.
And no bye week, really, unless if they do get the first round bye because of all the
COVID. Well, they had a bye week. They had a bye week.
I mean, it was moved way early to like
week 3 or 4. Yeah, it was moved earlier than they expected, yeah. And they've had the short end of the stick twice this year with COVID postponements. But that's – and I think that's just more motivation for the Steelers to get pissed off and then shut everyone up about the critics and all that so they can make their Super Bowl run. So I still think they are going to – I believe they're going to win the Super Bowl this year and beat the Seahawks. But I'm sorry, the Saints later on this year. But we'll see.
Interesting. Taysom Hill is going to lead them.
Wow.
Either the Saints or the Seahawks. I'm still undecided on that, but we'll see.
Interesting take there, Mike. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, they just have that amazing wide receiver core. How they get lucky and draft – Chase Claypool this year. I was just not fair, man. I love seeing receivers just down
and just.
Also, I just wanted to point out with a fraud, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 1-10, and they have the second longest losing streak in the NFL.
No, thank you. Jets, we need them to win a game,
but not thank you at the same time. Yeah. We kind of want them to win. Yeah. Losing 10 in a row, guys. 10-0. How about that? Week one, we were like, we're 1-0.
Started from the top to the bottom,
and then boom.
At least we were in first place this season. No one else can take that away from us.
That's true. That's true. And you know what? I like our analysis here on these frauds and for reals. I think we did a pretty good job. A little iffy on our frauds.
The frauds, like Mike said, with Cleveland, early exit in the first round or playoffs. And I could see that with the Rams if they play undisciplined, but they do have a legit defense, and they're just – getting by on that, so
since we're going, majority of our frauds and frills are a little bit of a cold weather team base, like cold weather city base. Let's touch on some cold weather topics real quick.
Oh wow, that transition! Oh, that segue! Oh, Mike.
So, as if anyone has not noticed, in Jacksonville, it's kind of been freezing cold lately. I don't know if you guys expected it because I did not.
I mean, it's not freezing. Freezing is 32 degrees and under.
It was 30 degrees the other day, and one of my friends up in New York sent me a Snapchat saying, I wish I was in Jacksonville when it was 38 degrees up there. I'm like, bro, it's colder down here than it is up there.
I think the coldest it got was 37.
It was cold. It was 30 early morning okay. the other day.
Yeah, no, we were outside at work the other day, and it was 28 degrees, and we're like, can we come inside, yeah, please? And they're like, yes.
Well, Coastal's perfect for that cold weather if you're wanting to do some golf right now.
That's true. That's true. But before everyone goes to Coastal, we've got some ideas here. So since it's getting cold, it's that time of year. The Christmas music's playing. It is near Christmas time. And whatever channel you usually turn on, if it's not sports related, there's usually a Christmas movie on. So I came up with the idea, and I know we've done this before on our previous iteration of on River City Rogue, where we drafted Christmas movies. And it's also like a homage to that. But it's that time of year where Christmas movies are on. Some people have fireplaces, they light up the fire, bonfires are going on, whatever. So we want to do a little draft of Christmas movies. And since only three of us, we'll just do three movies each, and it's a snake draft. So we'll start with Skylar, who has the number one pick, and then we'll go over some movies here in a little bit, see if one pick is trash or it's an excellent pick, so on and so forth, like a normal draft. Go ahead, Skylar.
All right, with the first Christmas movie pick of the 2020 Christmas season, Skylar Chase picks The Santa Claus, Tim Allen.
Good pick, good pick. That was my number. That was my second choice, honestly.
Santa Claus. Okay, yeah. I forgot. I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Well, honestly, you could probably put on any TV channel. You'll probably find it.
Freeform is the channel with all of it.
Freeform is where they're at. Yeah, I actually watched a movie there last night. It's not on my list, but I'll save it till afterwards.
Well, wait, Santa Claus was on your list?
I'm up next.
Oh.
No, I've only seen the movie like once. I don't know. I don't really
Me neither, but in the whole movie they point out the fact that his initials are SC because his name's Scott Calvin. And my initials are SC, which are the same for, Santa Claus and Sports Center and all that. So,
nice connection there, Skylar.
Yeah, well, him too.
And
I
Steph
guess.
Curry.
Man.
you can wear. Well, you that means you can buy his gear that has SC.
That's on. True.
Very true. It's my own Skylar personal Chase. Brand.
Or are you really Santa Claus?
That's no, it's just that I'm a very manly man. That's no.
Well, damn. All right. Well,
no,
I guess
you can
I'm
walk, Keith. Lame means you can't walk. You just can't grow hair.
Pick. My number one pick is going to be a classic, and I watch every year, A Christmas Story. It's hard to pick against it. It's on all day on TBS, or I don't know if they're going to do it this year, but, COVID. But it would affect that somehow. Don't judge me. But, A Christmas Story, number one. Gotta love it. Ralphie wanting his Red Ryder BB gun. Just an all-around movie. So quotable.
All right, so now my good movie, Keith, that is also on my list, but a little lower on my list. So my first choice, I'm actually glad I get back-to-back choices because I want to lock these two up. My first choice is Home Alone. Home Alone is one of my – it's a terrible – I hate you. I
hate that movie.
Why do you hate Home Alone?
It's not good. It's literally just like two inept criminals that fall for every like. Family Guy did the most perfect clip on it. If I find it, I will post it somewhere, maybe on our Facebook page or something. But they had the most epic clip ever that was just talking about how dumb those guys were. It's like, hey, don't touch this door handle. It's hot. Oh, okay, I won't. Instead of just grabbing it and holding on, it's like, ah! It's like, wow, yeah. Then they shoot the kid. And
wow. Okay, I gotta see that. But no, I like Home Alone because there is a little bit of a connection to it. So I don't know if you guys know this, but Home Alone, the main character's name is Kevin McAllister. And my mom was pregnant with my brother at the time of the movie when it came out. I think maybe a year later after the movie came out. It was on TV when she was...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so my brother is named after the main character. And it works out perfectly because my brother's a little shit sometimes, so... I know he's listening, so there you go, Kevin. But no, and Home Alone is always a classic. I always put whenever it's on, I'm never gonna change it. I love Home Alone. It's a funny movie. Like there's just so many quotable quotes in that movie for me. So that's my number one choice. And my number two, I don't know if Keith's gonna like it, but I like it, so it doesn't matter. Elf is my second favorite movie. I love Elf.
No, Elf.
I like Elf
a
lot.
Elf is a great movie.
Will Ferrell's hilarious. It's a funny movie. So that
It's arguably one of his best movies, and it's one of the only things that I can actually watch Zooey Deschanel in.
Gotcha, gotcha. No, I like Home Alone and Elf are my top two choices, and I kick the draft back to Keith.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm never going to pick. I watch weird stuff. You guys don't. So I'm going to go, heads or tails. All right, I'm going to go Miracle on 34th Street, the original, the black and white version. It is a fantastic movie. It's warm and jolly and Kris Kringle, you know, it's just a happy movie. And I don't know, it's one of those movies that we always watch together as a family. So it has a special place.
Nice. And by the way, for everyone, at the end of the episode, what we want you to do is go to Dimes on Duval on Twitter. And we're going to tweet out, I'm going to tweet out a poll who had the better list of Christmas movies, Skylar, Keith, or myself. So we'll see who people agree with.
We'll include the picks.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll include the picks.
But we want you to listen, so listen. Well, if you're listening right now, you listen.
Thank you. All right, Skylar, you're up.
So with my second pick,
you got back-to-back, yeah. Skylar, so you got time.
So, I mean, it's coming down to a few. And with this one, I am going to go with Christmas with the Cranks, another Tim Allen movie.
That is on my list.
Your kiss is on my list. Anyways, yeah, it's a good movie, I guess. It's a little different, you know. Christmas movies, they're all, it depends on your view of what a Christmas movie is and how much spirit you want to get into. So with this, it's just a unique perspective. It's, you know, a fit.
It's different. It's a different type of Christmas.
Yeah, it's a couple. Their kids are moved out, and they're trying to take advantage of the fact that they don't have anyone in town for Christmas. And lo and behold, everyone's trying to visit them now. So it's funny. It's good. I liked Tim Allen a lot before he became a racist, but I guess he always was one. But these are some good movies. For the third one, I was saying something different earlier, but I'm probably gonna go with The Grinch here, and the live action one with Jim Carrey.
I was going to say, which one? That's a good one.
No.
I was hoping that would fall back to me, but that's a good one.
No, I'm saying no because no, that one.
No, wait, the one with Jim Carrey does not suck. I don't know what you're talking about.
Keith, what is wrong with
you?
Yes,
it does. Yes, it does.
You like the animated version? God.
Well, there's two the original ones. There's the new one. The new animated.
I thought you were talking about the new animated.
The classic one is not even a movie, isn't it? No. Is it just so an hour long showing?
It's a feature. Yeah, it's just like a feature. Yeah, a Christmas feature. You know, like it's not on my list, so I'm going to say it anyway, but like Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh,
it's like
gotcha,
34
gotcha.
Minutes or whatever.
Like, I thought you were talking about the new one with the animated version. I was like, that's not the good one.
Never. Never would I ever. No, I just. I love Jim Carrey. I love him to death, but those just weird roles like that.
That's what he's good for.
Just creep me out. Like,
that's really what he's good for. Exactly. Thank you, Sam. He's like good at that.
Okay. All right. Let me correct that. Weird roles like Tim Burton, like weird. Like that version of the Grinch reminds me of Tim Burton, and I can't stand Tim Burton. Okay. So, like, Nightmare Before Christmas is not on my list.
Because I was going to ask you guys about that one. Is that a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
It's Christmas, according to Google.
Yeah, and Google does say that, so I have to agree with Google on that one.
People they think it's a Halloween and a Christmas movie. I'm like, I can see it. But anyway, not to get too off track. Yeah. Go ahead, Keith. Wrap up your picks.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter because mine are just all weird ones anyway. So mine's It's a Wonderful Life, which is arguably one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time with Jimmy Stewart back in like 1946 or something.
Movie's okay, but I hate that damn ride in Disney. I cannot stand that ride.
It's a Wonderful Life ride?
Yeah. Are you thinking It's a Small World?
Is it? Oh, It's a Small World. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm thinking It's a Small World. Yeah, my bad.
It's a wonderful life.
No, no. It doesn't work. See, it doesn't work.
My bad.
No. It's a very good movie. If you've never seen it, definitely worth checking out. But yeah, that's number three on my list. Mike, who you got?
I'm wrapping it up. I'm actually glad I got three of my top four picks. My last choice is a classic and it has Jalen Ramsey featured in it. The Polar Express.
That's the movie that was on last night. I'm glad I
know that. No, that I love that movie. That movie is just, it's a good, feel good movie. Like, it's a fun, it's a good movie. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I thoroughly enjoy watching Polar Express whenever it does come on. And whenever I see that little girl, I just die because now that she's a meme, it's hilarious that it looks like Jalen Ramsey. Like,
you know what? What's funny is I'm very critical of movies, and I was talking to Alyssa on the phone last night about it, and I do like the movie. I think it's good. I love Tom Hanks. I just get so annoyed with the kid, the boy, and how idiotic he is sometimes. It's like, stop losing the ticket. He loses the ticket like four times in the movie. I'm like, come on, man, like, get your act together. But you know, that's the point of the movie. It's got to keep you on edge. And
no,
he still has the spirit of Christmas. Good for him.
Yeah, no, those are some ones. Let's just name some ones that we left off. I left off Bad Santa and Harold and Kumar Christmas. Those two are funny. I was,
yes, a very Harold yes. and Kumar Christmas. That was on mine too.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
It's such a
the only other one I might have tried so to include would have been Ted, and it's only because the opening scene is Christmas. So
that's not a Christmas movie, in my opinion.
I don't know if I can put that on.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, he gets the best Christmas gift ever, and it becomes his best friend.
Like I said, my opinion is not a Christmas movie, but I see what you're.
Well, it's
I
not.
See
it didn't saying. Even get drafted. So,
but look,
good movie. But I don't think it's a Christmas
movie. Yeah. No.
Yeah. On my list. The Family Stone, which is another classic one. Dang it, I had another one. I can't remember. It was just off the top of my head. Oh, Office Christmas Party with Jennifer Aniston and what's his
Jason
name?
Bateman.
Jason Bateman, yeah. That was funny. And The Night Before with Seth Rogen. I know that's another new one. I mean, it's stupid because it's like...
That's, you
know,
more Seth so Rogen, a Jewish movie.
Levitt and stuff, but it's funny.
It is funny.
Yeah, it is funny, though. Yeah, stoner movies are just funny in general.
I said Jewish.
Let's just say that.
All right.
Oh, I said stoner.
That's true.
We talked about Harold
okay.
and Kumar.
I was just making sure you heard me right.
Anyways. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are going a little off topic here. But if anyone else had any other Christmas movies, feel free to let us know on Twitter and on social media, whatever we post it, post the episode. And also... don't forget to vote in our poll to see who you guys thought had the best Christmas movie list. And Keith or I will, or Skylar will put up the actual picks on Twitter as well. So one last thing before we wrap up. So the Iceman have three new owners. Skylar, do you want to touch on that? Who are the three new owners for the new the hockey
team?
So we team,
got
the Jackson
Tim
Iceman?
Tebow, iconic, super legend from Jacksonville. And then Miles Jack, great linebacker. And then I believe the other one's Reggie Hayward, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool just to see those three guys team up together. Miles Jack was talking about how incredible it is for him just to be doing business with Tim Tebow as a partner. But it's cool to see, like, it's local people being involved in the Iceman. So I don't think these three guys would ever have the idea of moving the team. They're going to just keep city with the team. So I think it's good just seeing those three guys involved, as opposed to just some random guy buying the Iceman. So
I agree. Keith,
I think it's
on
cool
it?
As a as a former Iceman employee.
Flex on us.
Bob Arablo, the founding partner, and I believe he's the team president as well. Great guy, just very rooted in hockey and keeping it here in Jacksonville. The three guys that just added, they're actually 18, 19th, and the 20th members now of the ownership group. So Daniel Murphy actually became an owner, part owner last year too. So it's cool to see a lot of local people getting involved and trying to keep this team here. Yeah, it's been have a good product. If you haven't been to a game yet, go out. I wouldn't say it's quite on the level of the Jumbo Shrimp, but it's definitely worth going to a game because one, it's always cool in there, so you're not going to be sweating like you would at a Jumbo Shrimp game.
Yes, that's a fact.
Two, the product is entertaining. I mean, shoot, watching some hockey fights, oh, man, that was probably one of the best parts. And three, that's where I actually got to meet Jalen Ramsey back when I liked him, and that was pretty awesome experience.
And one thing is also might be better product on the ice than the Jaguars are on the field, but that's a comment.
Yeah, yeah. You know, walk across the street and watch a team win a couple games instead of
lose
watching – Jaguars catch L after L.
Yep. No, that's all we have for you guys today. Just wanted to touch on a few things. Well, one locally, recap a few things, NFL, college, and also get in the spirit of Christmas, because Christmas is now, it's almost, what, it's 3 weeks away, guys. One, two, three. It is three weeks away.
I'm getting my gifts. I'm getting my gifts. Somebody needs to win our prize pack so they can get a gift from us.
Yeah, well, I'm not expecting anyone to get a prize pack. Someone prove me wrong. We got a few more weeks left.
Maybe we'll just give it to whoever had the most 13. Wins picked correct. Yeah. I mean, everyone probably picked against the Jaguars, so that's everyone. So, never mind.
Yeah. Yes, no, we're not doing that. But no, if it comes down to it, we might point do plus or minus something down the line. But hopefully, yeah, someone will eventually get it. But do you guys have anything else before we wrap up?
That's all I got, brother.
Love you too, Skylar. So for Keith Manzi, for Skylar Chase, this is Mike Yonsky signing off for Dimes on Duval. Thank you for listening, everyone. See you next time.